Welcome to New Life Church teaching series, Jesus Paid It All, with the lesson titled, Jesus Paid It All Introduction. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
The reason we believe it's that, because I believe this is the title of this year for this church and this congregation, and perhaps maybe even for others, that Jesus paid it all. So we want to jump into Jesus paid it all. What does it mean that Jesus paid it all? What is that definition? We understand Jesus paid it all, and we can say, well, he paid our bill. Well, what did we buy? What was purchased with when he paid it all? What in the world did he purchase? And I've got a feeling that I have yet to utilize all that he's purchased. So if he's purchased, how can we discover what he has purchased, and how can we walk in it? There is the quest of this year. Now, this is a preacher here, and I am doubt if anyone in the room knows who this is. Would anybody like to take a guess? As the Lord was giving me some things, He led me to this preacher here, and I'm like, my goodness, what a heart for God. His name here, they called him Elder D.J. Ward. His title was Elder, and he was a preacher. He passed away in 2008. I think he was born in 1947, perhaps, or something like this. But he's got this little short 4-minute video that I want to play for you. Now, really listen to me, please. You've got to really try to hear what the Lord's saying this morning, it'll just go right over our heads. It's gone, and we didn't get it. And I know there's something here for. I think I'm going to get it about the same time you do. I hope. Yeah, somebody say amen. I hope that I'll at least get it. You know, maybe 1 or 2 seconds before you, so I know what in the heck to say. But we're wanting to capture and to catch what the Lord's trying to speak to us today, because it is a hidden truth here. So if you would, we're going to play this little video of Elder.
I contend this morning that the death of Christ was not an attempt. It was an accomplishment.
Amen.
Now, brothers and sisters, when one accomplishes something, it means somewhere they had to have an assignment. Well, what was the assignment? His name shall be called Jesus. For he shall save, not attempt to save, not try to save, not hope to save, not want to save, but he shall save his people from their sin. Is that right?
That's right.
I said, is that right?
That's right?
Now I hear this. I hear this. I hear it on televisions, I hear it in churches, that God has done all he can do. The rest is up to you. If the rest is up to you, then he didn't accomplish it. If anything is up to you, he didn't accomplish it. I've even heard this. You've got to help God save you. He can't do it by himself. If God cannot do it by himself, then he didn't accomplish it. He's a false God. He's a liar. And you best not trust him. If he didn't do it, then we ought to stop singing, Jesus paid it all. Saying he paid some of it. Now, brothers and sisters, if he did not accomplish it, we are here in vain. And you can have all of the religion you want, If this was not accomplished, we're going to hell. It's just that blunt, it's just that simple, it's just that clear. But if he did do it, he doesn't need your best, and your works need not speak for you. If he did do it, you can leave here rejoicing that your sins are now under the blood, and he stands as your substitute, your mediator before God this morning, pleading the blood, pleading his blood. That perfect sacrifice, that holy atonement, he's pleading the blood. You can rest that all of my sins are under that blood. Did he accomplish it? Did he fail? Do we need Mohammed to come after him? Do we need another prophet after him? I declare this morning, he paid it all. He paid it all. Every drop of it. Every sin I was going to commit, every sin I thought about committing, he nailed it to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! It is well with my soul.
Amen. That's the old preacher said, did you get it? As I heard Bob Jones look over me and say, Alan, did you get it? I got it. Jesus paid it all. He either did or he didn't. Jesus paid it all. Do we really realize what that's saying? That Jesus paid it all. It says here that this is what he said, D.J. Ward said. The death of Christ was not an attempt. It was an accomplishment. It is finished. Now, as we sang the song, Jesus Paid It All, and there again, I want you to help me here. Help me move with this thing and as we see this. Now, I'm going to give this little prophetic word here, I believe, for 2020. You can test it. You don't even have to believe it. Just might want to agree with it. I believe this coming year, 2020, will be the year that we will walk in the accomplishments of the cross of Christ with the evidence of answered prayer. I believe this is the year that we are going to walk in the accomplishments. Now, it's important for us to start grasping hold of what does it mean Jesus paid it all. Jesus accomplished a lot on that cross when he said he paid it all. So I believe what the Lord told me, that the year 2020 will be the year that we will walk in the accomplishments of the cross of Christ with the evidence of answered prayer. Now, here's a verse that I want us to consider in light of this word. John 14, verses 12 through 14. And it reads like this. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to where? To my Father. And wherever, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, and that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything, how? In my name I will do it. It's off of this scripture that I make the proclamation, the year 2020 will be the year that we will walk in the accomplishments of the cross of Christ with the evidence of answered prayer. It's not that it hasn't been here all the time, because it has. But this is the year we're to look at it and to be made aware. Did you know you can have a lot and not be aware that you've got it? So I'm not declaring it hadn't been here and it's coming. I'm declaring it's here, and we need to realize it and try to have some understanding on what does this verse mean. Now, to do that, this one, the hymn, that was actually an old hymn that we just sang with a little extra added to it, which I thought it was incredible. But I want us to look at this hymn to start with. Now, this teaching today has two parts, but with the same meaning. So there is a part of the first part that will be revealed in the second part, but you can't get the second part, Revelation, without the first part. You've heard me say it before, one doesn't include two, but two includes one. So you need to get the first part. The accomplishment, Jesus paid it all. Something was accomplished. Something was accomplished on the cross. Now we're going to look at a few things real quickly as we move here. The first one's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to do what? Accomplish it. Verse 18, for verily I say unto you, till the heavens and the earth pass, not one jot or tittle in no wise will pass from the law, till all is fulfilled. That word fulfilled there means accomplished. In the first verse, you can see fulfilled. And that means to be accomplished. So in those two verses, Jesus, he paid it all. He accomplished those two things. He accomplished it. Everything that was in the prophets, all of the law, Jesus accomplished it. He paid it all for who? For you and me. So he paid those two verses up. We're paid up on those two verses. Anybody with me? Totally paid up on that one. Doesn't it feel good to be paid up? Here's the other accomplishment in the cross. It is finished. Now, it's in John 19, 30. Now, there again, we want to understand what are these accomplishments in the cross. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, or paid in full. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. So we see there that something was finished, paid up right there for you and me. We got something paid for, paid up right there. And you got to catch what I'm saying, because English words is not going to do it, I can already tell. Watch this in Colossians 2. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Something was paid up right there. It's just the bill was blotted out, which means accomplished. It was that verse, you're paid up on Colossians 2:14, and you're paid up on John 19:30. Somebody say glory, hallelujah. Okay, you're paid up. Gosh, I'm feeling, I like being out of debt. I don't know about y'all. It's just feeling good. Here's another accomplishment of the cross. When we move on into these verses, and this was where the Lord started tripping me up. What I was instructed to do was to take that song we just sang and apply it to Scripture. Will somebody have sympathy for me? I'm like, God, you got to be kidding me. How? Well, believe it or not, he knew exactly what he was talking about. And for some reason, when we sing this song in this series, the Lord's wanting something in us to realize what we're saying. There's some spiritual, I'm trying to put words to something. I don't know what I'm talking about, but the Lord's wanting us to understand this song that is scriptural. And when we sing it with understanding, something spiritual is supposed to happen in here. Go figure. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Jesus is all we need. Here's what it says. Here's what you just sang. I hear the Spirit say, thy strength indeed is small. I hear the Savior say, your strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me all in all. Well, here's the scripture that the Lord led that I got. It's in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is what? Easy, and my burden is Jesus paid. That one's paid up for you. Is anybody with me? That one's paid in full for you. That one's paid for, so therefore Alan Smith can do that one. But somebody had to pay the bill so I can enjoy that one. But I can enjoy that one. Let's see what else we got here. The accomplishment that we can do the will of God. I think that one's pretty huge. I'm always running around thinking I'm going to miss God. But here, Jesus has paid the bill so that I can do the will of God. Did you know before the cross I couldn't? But now I can? Is that not big to somebody? That's big to me. Okay, watch this. In the verse that we just sang, it said, all to Him I owe. It's in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything do what? Give thanks, for this is what? The will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Did you know Alan Smith today can give thanks unto God and do His will? Now, would your brain have come up with that? Mine wouldn't. Give thanks, and I want to do the will of God. Oh, God, I want to do the will of God. Oh, God, 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 I want to do the will of God. God says, okay, just give thanks. Come on, God, it needs to be a little more harder than that, more complicated. Surely it's more than giving thanks. What we discover is Jesus paid for something on that cross. It's paid up. That when you give thanks, the will of God is more. The will of God is more than you sitting around humming, giving thanks. The will of God is then exposed. It is proclaimed when you give thanks. Giving thanks is the key that unlocks the spiritual world to the will of God. Can somebody hear that? Jesus, that's one of the keys of the kingdom. He paid for that key. We have access to that key. For the will of God to come into your life, and it's one key. You thought you had to do a lot of works or something. No, you just thank Him for what He's done. Then all of a sudden, the will of God comes. See, that doesn't compute with my brain, does it, George? It's got to be God, because I wouldn't have come up with that one. Let's move on. Another accomplishment of the cross, we have been made clean. Somebody say glory. Here's what the song says. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as what? As snow. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be what? White as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as what? Jesus fulfilled that one right there. The cross of Christ bought and paid for that one right there. Your sins are, they're not only forgiven, they're the cotton-picking dirty mess is white. I guess God has a spiritual bleach or something. I don't know. Think about it. It's white. The blood of Christ, not only are we forgiven, but our sins are, we've been cleansed. We've been cleaned. This is what we were singing about. We contribute nothing. Somebody say glory, hallelujah. You see, a religious spirit thinks it's got to contribute something. But here we go. For nothing good I have is what we sang. It's in Romans 7. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. So as we're singing that song, we're declaring a truth that we're not contributing to being white as snow. Now, it must be that this is important to say. Now, watch this. Here's another accomplishment of the cross, was God starts showing mercy. And in the song we sang, whereby thy grace to claim. So then it is not of him who wills nor of him who runs, but of God who does what? Shows mercy. Romans 11:6. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. So in the song that we sang, we said, whereby thy grace to claim. The grace of God is what is released when we use the key of the kingdom to give thanks. Let's move on, because I got a lot of territory here. Here's another accomplishment of the cross. In him we have redemption. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of what? His grace. One of the accomplishments that Jesus paid for, Jesus paid it all. The accomplishment of Jesus paying it all is this. We have redemption. You haven't been redeemed because of, you've been redeemed unto. You've been redeemed unto. Unto. What do we give thanks for? Well, there's a good one. Right? Just, you know, select something here. Here's a good one. We're giving thanks for this. Now, I want to move on right quickly. I want you to get the idea. The accomplishment, we can put on a new man created by God. Now, I know some people probably have a problem with this one. Believe it or not, you got a newer model when you came to Christ. And now complete in him. Say complete. We are now complete in him. So I'm not trying to be completed. I'm trying to get the revelation and the understanding of what complete is. It's already done. I'm already complete. Nothing is holding me back but me from experiencing what Jesus paid for. Does that make no sense? But you got it anyway. Complete in him. My robe is what? His is what? My robe is his righteousness is in Ephesians 4, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness. And what? Holiness. So we start getting this idea, Jesus paid for something. Jesus paid so that you might put on the new man. What's the new man? The new man is Christ and his righteousness. So that means I want to let go of my righteousness, right? So here we have the battle of mankind saying that I have something righteous to bring to the table. Listen, we have never, what is, to be set free means you have been set free from self-righteousness. Can somebody say glory? Because in self-righteousness is your sin, it's your bad stuff, and it's your good stuff. But Jesus has paid for all of it. Let's move on quickly. The accomplished. Here's something that was accomplished, the covering of God himself. Clothes sheltered neath his side, he said, in the song that we sang. Now, when you sing this again, I hope it has more meaning. When we put on the whole armor of God, you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we start seeing here that Jesus paid for this whole armor of God. Your armor is paid for. Since Jesus paid for the armor, we need to go to the scriptures, in which is here, Ephesians 6, and we need to discover, what is this armor that Jesus has paid for so that I can stand? Would it not lead you to this idea, if I'm not standing, perhaps there's part of my armor missing? Possibly. Part of my armor must be missing if I'm not standing. And I'll talk with people, I'll say, okay, I'm failing here and here. Okay, evidently you're not got something on that Jesus has paid for. Well, let's move on. Here's another accomplishment of the cross. A blessing when we walk in liberty. Now, here's what it said. Here's what you sang. I am divinely blessed. Say that. I am divinely blessed. Now, I want to ask you a question. How many of you in here actually knew you sang that? This is the part where I was saying there's some things I can't say. You got to get it. Okay. James 1:25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. To walk in what? Perfect law of liberty. What does liberty mean to somebody? Freedom. Freedom. You are now free not to sin. You don't have to. I don't care what your body says. You don't have to do it. Right? It's a choice. We now have a free. Freedom also means there's now, therefore, no condemnation. Jesus paid for that one. Pretty cool. Right? A big control factor is condemnation. Shame. Anybody felt shame? Oh, nobody? Okay. How many like it? Okay, nobody likes it either. What happens? Shame is a huge control factor. We'll get into that one later. Okay. The accomplishment. What we receive, we can give. Now, this one's a good one. Lord, now indeed I find the power in thine alone. You just sang that. Can change the leper's what? Spots. That's what we did at the beginning. We were praying. This is what you sang. Now, what I believe, impressed upon me by the Holy Spirit is when we learn what we're singing, that the Lord's going to impart this to us in this series as a pastor comes next week and gives us revelation. The prophetic word is the Lord wants to impart this to us when we thank Him and praise Him. I know that sounds ridiculous. But what can I say? I'm a farmer, okay? I know it doesn't sound like that should work, but go with it. Let's watch this one. It says it in Matthew 10:8. It says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, and freely you do what? Can we give what we didn't receive? Oh. Get it? Alan, did you get it? I got it. So it leaves me on this quest that I want to get it. What do I want to get? Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out the demon. Freely you have received, freely you give. I think there's a little something in my receiving end, my receptor end. I don't know how y'all are. I have a hard time receiving. Anybody else? It's probably pride in me and a lot of other things. But still, that's what happens. So I want to freely receive so I can freely give. If something's free, it operates under liberty. Right? So to freely give and receive comes under this spiritual phenomena of being, having liberty. Now, the accomplishment here, we will get a new spirit and a new heart and melt the heart of stone. Wow. We have any stony hearts in here? Well, that's proof. Any stony hearts? Here's what it says in Ezekiel 11:19. Y'all know the verse. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Heart of flesh meaning a soft heart. This Jesus paid for this one right here. Is anybody proud of being Scrooge? You know what I'm talking about. Come on. I've got a friend of mine that he, at Christmas time, when he's such a Scrooge. When he watched Scrooge, and when it comes to the time him getting being better, he cuts it off. He said it just runs the ending. And some of y'all probably know who it is. And I'm not going to call Melvin's name. All right. So here we have. And by the way, he's not at all like that. The accomplishment. We will stand before the throne and worship Him. Now, here's an accomplishment. When before the throne. Now, you sang that in Jesus Paid It All. I stand in Him complete. I'll lay my trophies down, all down at Jesus' feet. You got to get this. Jesus, you got to get a ticket to get into the throne of God. It's not free. Jesus has paid you a get-in free ticket to the throne of God. This is not makeup stuff. This is real. When Jesus died on the cross, one of the things he accomplished was so you could go direct. You remember this, where the veil is rent? Is what happened in the natural? We can now walk straight into the throne of God. And not only that, when you leave this body, you're going to go directly in front of the throne of God. Jesus, what did he accomplish? He got you a get-in free ticket to the throne of God. Is that going to be overwhelming or not? Absolutely, that is overwhelming. Here's the scripture, and I'm sure you know it's Revelation 4, 10 and 11. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by you will they exist and were created." What happened here? We see that we will have access and do have access. I got to move into the second part. So you ready? Everybody got the first part. When we sing this song, it means a lot. This is a prophetic song unto us this year. Jesus paid it all. He's calling this church to walk in what Jesus has paid for, but we need to know what it is he's paid for. Now I want to walk into the application of what he's paid for. Greater works come out of the Father's heart, because I showed you that scripture, John 14. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I do what? I go to who?" I go to who? All right, now think about it. Jesus says, "Okay, you're going to do greater stuff, but I'm leaving." Oh, yeah, by the way, you're going to do what I did. Not only that, you're going to do greater stuff, because I go where? To the Father. Now, we're going to connect these dots, what it means that I go to the Father. Are you living from a Father's heart? Now, I want to ask you this question. Please go with me. Are you living from a Father's heart or from a far country? Now, here's what we want to do. That verse that I read to you, that the greater works, is a true verse. And I believe that this church has the opportunity to walk in the greater works in 2020. Is the Lord's going to start giving us more revelation? Okay, what does it mean? But it's not a matter of working for something. It's a matter of understanding what you already got. So we're wanting to walk in the understanding of what we already have. So here's what we got to do. Are you living in a Father's heart or in a far country? Now, hopefully a Bible story comes to mind here. Now, it's in Luke 15. Now, remember, a Father's heart or a far country. I need for everyone in here to figure out where you are. And then when you figure out where you are, then we can do something about it so we can get on with where we need to go. So here we go. I'm going to read it here. "And he said, a certain man had two sons." You know the story, the prodigal son? "And the younger of them said to his father," now really, Holy Spirit, be with us, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So he divided them to his livelihood. "Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there was wasted his possessions." He wasted them and had prodigal living. It means he didn't save anything. "But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. So then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to eat? Bread enough and to spare, I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off," say far country, "his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And then they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And so he called one of the servants and asked what these things mean. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fattened calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours, what did he call him? Did he say his brother? Son of yours. Came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Now, I want you to see something. Lostness is not necessarily badness. We associate being in a far country as being bad. To be in a far country, you don't have to be bad. You're just far away from home. The story of the prodigal is not a story about sins. It is a story about lostness. Now, this is important. I kind of mentioned a little bit this morning, am I saved or am I once saved? Am I always saved? Am I not always saved? It doesn't make any difference. The question is if you're found and alive. This is the issue here. As you're a believer, as you're walking with Christ, and as you're going into 2020, here's the idea. Are you going to be a prodigal son in a far country? In other words, you're going to stay a little bit distant from God. You just want to be close enough to God to get a few provisions, right? But you're really and truly far away. So it's about lawlessness. Now, the true emphasis is not on the sons, but on the father. Now, here's where I'm headed with this. This is always taught as the story of the prodigal sons, but in the revelation of a prophetic teaching, I want you to start, this teaching is to be focused on the father, not the sons. So here's where we're going with this thing. It is an unveiling of the heart of God. So for us in 2020, we're wanting to understand the heart of God. How does God think? Why? Because we want to be in on these greater works. Somebody say amen. You see, Jesus said, I've got to go away to the Father. And he says, I'm going to go away and you're going to be doing works of the Father. So we're like, ooh. Okay, I'm cluing in here just a little bit. The true of the parable is the picture of the Heavenly Father's heart of love towards undeserving sinners. That's key. If we want to do the greater works, we got to get this. We got to get it. The Father's heart of love toward undeserving sinners. Condemnation, judgmentalism, means we always want people to get what they deserve as long as it's not me. Right? I'll judge myself by my intentions and I'll judge you by your actions. Right? Let's see what else we got here. The younger brother exploded in rebellion. He knew what he wanted. Now, this is one side I want to develop just a little bit. You've got the younger brother. He's the prodigal. He's the one that ran off. He exploded. He knew what he wanted, bless God. It was different from the elder brother. The elder brother liked it at home, not that he loved his father. Now, here's the key. The elder brother liked it at home, but it wasn't because of his great love for the father. Like all of us, he wanted to have his own way. He thought he was smart enough to manage his father and to get out of him what he wanted. Somebody say, uh-oh. Now, here's the key. Here's what we do. We come to, you know, we want to be close enough to the Father so we can kind of manage Him and get out of Him what we want. That's what we're doing. Does anybody get in that? Yes. Now, here we go. The far country is not measured by distance. Anywhere a man is away from God is called a far country. Wherever you are not in fellowship with God, your life is in a far country. There again, this is in light of a prophecy. This is in light of us seeing greater works done by the hand of the Father. You do not belong in a far country. Why did this younger brother go into the far country? He was seeking to please himself. Self-pleasing is the origin of sin. Now, I want you to see something here. There's two sides developing here. We've got a younger brother and an older brother. So we got two stories going on at the same time. Younger brother leaves, the older brother stays because he knows he can manipulate, he thinks he can manipulate the Father, so he's going to be goody miss-two-shoes. He didn't do nothing wrong, but he's really and truly going to manipulate God. Son says, heck, younger says, heck with all. So he goes off. So we got two sides developing. And the older, the older son, he says, why are you killing the fatted cat? Why? He doesn't deserve this. So can you see we got two sides that are formed here? Now, self-pleasing is expensive. Somebody say amen. Especially if you like hunting and fishing. But we'll not go there. All right. Self-pleasing does not have the Father in mind. Are you with me on that one? It cost him the fellowship of his Father. Self-pleasing does. It cost him his what? Now, freedom is where we move in the greater things. Keep that in mind. We're going to connect the dots. Attitude reveals the heart of the elder brother. Now, watch this right quickly. His attitude shows that his years of obedience to his Father had been years of duty and not loving service. Anybody been there? Okay. His attitude is one of an amazing lack of sympathy. Say, oh me. It's an amazing lack of sympathy. Here he goes. He refers to his brother, not as my brother, but as your son. You know, no, that's them people down at New Life. They're not my brother and sister. That's them people down there. His type is seldom counted as away from the Father, either by himself or others. He's usually given the opposite. The far country is a land of a deception. He came to himself, it said. All of a sudden, he woke up. He came to himself. Before that, he was what I call out of his mind. What do I call crazy? Away from God. That's the dumbest move of mankind. Sin had distorted his vision, clouded his mind. And this is what happens with sin. It's amazing that when we're in sin, we get to be our smartest. Do you ever know that? You know how I know somebody's in a lot of sin? They're very argumentative. I'm sorry. You can say, I'm not saying it's 100% foolproof. But a lot of times when people, I felt something there. What did I just feel? Okay, I will move on. You're welcome. Okay. Sin is insanity. This same irrational characterizes the older brother. He was irrational just the same. Now, how do we return home from this far country? The younger brother recognized his desperate condition. That was very important. All of a sudden, he recognized that he was in a far country. He said, here's what he said, my Father. All of a sudden, he had a good memory of his Father, right? My Father. Matter of fact, he probably started giving thanks, had some good memories of his Father, and it opened up a spiritual portal. He said, I perish with hunger. How many of my Father's hired hands have more than enough food? He had a determination to return. Two sides here have formed. Everyone in this room falls under one of these two sides, but I'm going to show you something else here in a minute. We got a son that stayed home, and we got a prodigal. I'll get up and go to my father. So he got up and went to his father. So what is our response to always be? We always want to be right, so we're not going to get up and go to our father. We will not allow ourselves to come under the conviction of the Spirit. So here's what he said. He said, I will rise. I will rise and go to my father. I will never stop, he declares, until I come face to face with the father. So here's what the younger son did do. He said, I'm going to get up from here and I'm going to my father. This has something to do with the greater works, and I want you to see it. Can everybody bear with me here? Here's what happened. Now, here was the heart of the father. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father did what? He saw him and did what? Had compassion. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, if you want to know how, what does God's heart look like? He saw you afar off. When he saw you, guess what? He had compassion. When you ran to him, he fell on your neck and kissed you. That's what the Father's heart looks like. He didn't go to the prodigal son when he saw him afar off and get behind him and kick him in the hind end till he made it home. He maybe needed it, but he didn't. The reason he didn't is because the son said, I'm not going to stop till I see the face of my father. So what was God's response? He had compassion, and he fell on his neck and kissed him. So what does it look like when we are doing greater works? We're looking for people as far off as we can see them. We have compassion on them. And if they get within our reach, we're going to fall on their neck and kiss them. We say there are always two sides to every story, right? But in this story, there's three. All right, here's the revelation. Here's what I want you to capture. We say, and there's always two sides. There's a right and there's a left, right? There's a right and there's wrong. I mean, everything we do is competitive. That's just, there's two sides. We play ball games. It's competitive. There's two sides. Well, who wins? The better team that day, right? Everything we do is competitive. But there's three sides. There's the right, and there's the left, and then there's God. We can say Democrat and Republican all we want to, and then there's God. We can say conservative, liberal, but then there's God. We can say, well, this person did this wrong and this person is doing this. I've got to settle a conflict. What I tell people in settling conflict, what you got to understand, there's three sides. There's a right and there's a left and there's God. So there's a response to the third side. How do we do the greater works? It's because we're doing it from the third side. Not the first side and the second side. What's this? The three sides are the side of the younger brother, the side of the older brother, and the side of the father. Here's the accomplishment when Jesus paid it all. That we might be on the third side and have the heart of the father. Now come on somebody, you got to get this one. Jesus accomplished on the cross that we can have the heart of the Father. We don't have to take health or sickness. We're on the third side. Is anybody getting what I'm saying? Yes. Jesus paid. It is now possible for Alan Smith to have the heart of the Father. Jesus said, I got to go away to the who? To the Father. Then we find out Jesus is with the Father, something else happens. The third side, John 17:21. That they all may be what? One. as thou, Father, are in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. The third side is the side of the Father. Jesus paid the bill that we can be on the third side. You can't get on the third side unless somebody pays for your entrance. When it's paid for, it is possible. We've been given permission to have the heart of the Father. And when Christ in you, the hope of glory, the heart of the Father is here, which means you don't have to take side one or two. There's an option. Side three. It's the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father always has redemption in mind. The heart of the Father always has redemption in mind. The reason Jesus went away to the Father is because He sent His Spirit, which was the Father, in us. And the heart of the Father, He's not judging. You say, well, I'm going to let God judge it. Well, I'm sorry to inform you that the heart of the Father is always redeeming. And as could it be, I'm asking the question, could it be if we operated from the third side that we could do the greater works of the third side? It's just a question that I have. Let's watch this one. I think I'm about done. There are three sides to this story. Your call. The greater words come out of the Father's heart. Again, your call. The human nature of man wants to take one or the other side, either the prodigal or the older that stayed home, not considering this story is the revelation of the Father. If we're going to administer the greater works of a father, we have to have the heart of the Father. And I've just taught you by the Word of God what the heart of the Father looks like. Again, I submit to you, in light of this teaching, I believe this coming year, 2020, will be the year that we will walk in the accomplishments of the cross of Christ with the evidence of answered prayer. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, whose name? It's actually the Father's. That I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. To have the heart of the Father is to have redemption in mind. Our message is the cross, salvation, redemption, healing. We don't want anyone in this room to get what you deserve. It does help when we come and run after the Father. That's called repentance. It does help when we repent and turn. And we run towards the Father. But somewhere, sometime, the heart of the Father is what's being called. Why? Because Jesus paid it all. Can I ask you a selfish question? Did we communicate it or not? Did you get anything? Did you capture it? Can you say, Alan, I got it? It's the heart of the Father. It's not your heart. It's not the prodigal's heart. It's not even the other son's heart. It's the Father's heart that we're after. And guess what? It is possible. If you say, but Alan, I think we need to do this, get the heart of the fathers. All I can tell you is he saw everybody afar off. He totally had compassion. And when they got in reach, guess what he did? He hugged them up real good. What does that do? I don't know. Could it be that we could have compassion and hug people and they get healed? Anybody for hugging healing? I don't know. But we'll never know till we try it. So I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to have prayer pods over here. We'll be set up. We're going to set up a couple prayer pods here. But also, that you can have prayer when we end. As we sing this song, my prayer is, my understanding is, my belief is, that when we truly praise God with this thankfulness of this song, that He's going to start bringing impartation of the Father's heart to this place. Does anybody think that's an okay idea? So, Lord Jesus, be with us. Release us, oh God, as we sing and we're thankful that Jesus truly paid it all. Amen.